nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me read from another translation. This is a New Living Translation. This is what it states in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we pray real quick? God, as we have just sung this morning, we're here to worship you, God. We're here, God, to glorify your name, to honor you and to exalt you, God, to praise you. God, we thank you that you are our God, because you're a God who is good. We praise you, we honor you. And as we go through your word this morning, Lord, we ask for your presence. We ask for your power. We ask for your spirit and your anointing to just go forth, Lord. God, speak into our hearts. Stir our hearts for more of you. Be honored, Lord, this morning. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anxiety and worry are two words that I can assume are very familiar to us. We've all probably experienced some type of anxiety or worry. Some of our worries and anxieties are similar with others, and some are different. Some of our worries can seem very small, and some can be very large. And some of us, we worry about just about anything and everything. Let me give you some examples. Some of us here, we're like those people who trip out and get anxious when our phone battery is getting to 10%, right? We're looking for a charger, we're looking for a socket. You're like, dude, my life is over. I'm reaching the 1% and it's done, right? So we're tripping out. We get anxious, we get worried because our phone is dying soon. For some of us, it's our outfit. What do I wear, right? What do I wear for an outing? What do I wear for a party? What do I wear for church? And we kind of, you know, get anxious. We get worried of picking out an outfit. And maybe some of us here, we're those who send a text. And if we don't get a reply back in 1 minute, we kind of get anxious. Like, oh, shoot, like, how come you're not getting back to me real quick, right? I know some of these examples are kind of minor, and there are some circumstances and situations that actually call for greater anxiety and worry. Maybe you're anxious because of a work, your workplace or your job, right? Maybe the place you're working at, or maybe it's your own business. It's causing you great anxiety and stress. Maybe it's the people you work for. Maybe it's the people you work with. Or maybe those who work for you, or maybe it's just you, right? That's causing a lot of anxiety. Let me give you examples. So working for Pastor Scott, no, I'm just playing. Okay. I love it. It's great, right? I'm pretty sure he's more anxious me working, you know, for him. Okay. But you know, work can cause anxiety, it can cause worry. Maybe for some of us it's finances. We've been living paycheck by paycheck. We got bills to pay. Maybe we're worrying about our future. How do we plan for my future? How do we plan for retirement? Maybe we got loans to pay. We got a debt that's racking up, and we have finances that's on our mind. It's causing us anxiety and worry. For some of us, it's relationship. It can be relationship with our spouse. Maybe it's with our boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe it's with our family that's causing anxiety. For those of you that are raising children, you know, that might cause great anxiety and worry, especially when you start seeing characteristics in your children that are not of you, but of your spouse, right? You start seeing like, hey, man, like, becoming like dad, or you become like mom. You kind of get worried. You don't voice it, but kind of get anxious, right? Or maybe some of us here, we've been waiting, we've been looking, we haven't found that one person yet. We're getting a little anxious. And for some of us, it's just different circumstances in life, right? Things are not going the way that, you know, you plan it to be. Things are not going well in life, and it's causing a lot of anxiety and worries. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, I'm no different from you, right? In fact, I'll be honest. I'm the guy who gets anxious over everything and just anything. I remember taking a test in grad school. I don't know if it was the MMPI or if it was some other test. But the results came back and something stood out for me. And the thing that stood out was my anxiety level. It was super high, like well above the average person. But you know, to me, when I saw it, I wasn't too surprised because, again, I knew that I was the guy who got anxious over anything and everything. And while I was taking that test, I was super anxious, right? You have two choices. I don't know which one's the right one, but it's just up to you, right? Yes or no, or, you know, what you think of. And I wish I could tell you, church, that this morning, you know, I no longer have moments of anxiety. I no longer have moments of worries, but I'll be lying to you because I still do. For example, we have a retreat coming up this week. All right, I'm excited. I'm stoked, and I'm looking forward to it. So if you haven't signed up, like Pastor Scott said, sign up today. I know Uno has sent out a Google form. Make sure you respond to that. Okay, it's going to be an awesome time. But as I'm excited, as I'm stoked and looking forward to it, there are moments that I'm getting a bit anxious, right? This is my very first retreat with Rooftop. I really don't know what to expect. And even that, just planning and preparation, you know, Uno's doing a great job with that. She's doing well and she's communicating with you guys. But even with that, I get anxious. As a pastor, I want the best for this retreat. I want it to go well. So I'm thinking of, man, the guest speaker. I'm thinking about the services. I'm thinking about everything that needs to go into this retreat to be successful, to do well. I know this is an opportunity for our members to go and retreat from the craziness of everyday life and just spend time in the presence of God. So I'm having these thoughts and these questions. Man, is it going to be great? Is it going to be good? Is God going to show up? Are people going to be blessed? Are they going to have fun? Like, you know, is there going to be a great impact for our church when we go to this retreat? So I'm having all these questions. I'm having all these worries and all these things that's being accompanied by anxiety. And I remember just sitting there and just being anxious and being worried about everything, and God grabs my attention. I feel like I have ADHD with God sometimes, right? He's always trying to grab my attention. And this time he grabs my attention to tell me this. He's letting me know, Tav, stop tripping and start praying. Can you turn to your neighbor and just tell them, hey, stop tripping and start praying? And I believe this is the message that God is trying to teach us this morning through this passage. And I believe God is trying to teach us again, how do we respond? How do we respond when anxieties and worries start to flood our lives? With just as loud as you can you just say how? I'm glad you asked. All right. Let's go to verse 6. Beginning of verse 6. This is the word of God states. He starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing. God wants us to be anxious for nothing. Now, is God calling us to a carefree life? I don't think so. Because there are things that we definitely need to care for and be genuinely concerned about. Let me give you an example. Okay? You have an important test that's coming up for whatever it might be. Right? I hope you care enough to manage your time wisely so you can study. Amen? Maybe if you got bills to pay and you're out of a job, I hope you're genuinely concerned enough to go out there and to apply for a job to pay for the bills. So again, I don't think he's calling us to a carefree life. He's not calling us to just sit there and do nothing and just to wait for something to happen. Then is God telling us that we won't ever have moments of anxieties and worries in life? I don't think this either. I mean, this is the reason why he brings it up, right? This is the reason why he talks about anxiety, because he understands and he knows that anxieties and worries, they're going to be a common thing in our lives. But I do believe this is what God is saying here when he's saying don't be anxious. God is trying to teach us. He's saying don't allow worry and anxiety weigh us down, paralyze us, or cause hopelessness. One definition of worry is this. It says to be tormented by cares or anxieties. See, he doesn't want our anxieties to torment, to strangle us, or to suck the life out of us. He doesn't want us to dwell on these anxieties and worries that dominates our thoughts and disrupts our sleep. And even Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, do not worry, because he knows himself that worrying does us no good. In Matthew 6:27, Jesus states, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? When we worry, do we do better on the test, right? When we worry, is there a single dollar that's get added into our bank account because we sit there and worry? And if we worry and we're anxious, can we add another hour to our 24-hour day? rather than adding an hour, I think we'll waste a lot of hours just sitting there throughout the day worrying and being anxious. In that same passage in Matthew 6, Jesus states how, you know, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Look how I feed the birds. I clothe the lilies. And he states this. He says, how much more are you valuable to me? How much more are you worth more to me than the birds and the lilies of the field? And he assures us, hey, I'll take care of you. The Heavenly Father will provide for us. The Heavenly Father will meet our needs. The Heavenly Father will do a miracle in our lives. And if we're honest with ourselves, worrying doesn't help us in our circumstances and problems that we face. Rather, worrying exaggerates our problems and causes the problem to be more magnified than it really is. You know, I like what one psychiatrist said. She says this. She says, you know, many of the troubles and the worries that we go over and have and we think about, they never actually come about. Isn't that so true? A lot of times the worries and the anxieties that we have, we worry about something for nothing. So again, God is saying, don't be anxious or be anxious for nothing. Don't let the anxieties and worries of life to dominate our thoughts and disrupt our sleep. Don't let it cause hopelessness and don't let it torment us. Now, if you're facing some anxiety and worry in your life today, Jesus isn't saying, okay, just stop it, right? I don't know if you guys remember Mad TV. How many of you guys remember Mad TV? I think they closed that down or something, right? There's a skit in Mad TV, right? The lady walks in. Do you guys remember this scene? I'm not too sure. Lady walks into a therapist's office trying to share and trying to know how to cope with her anxiety and fear. And one of the fears she shared was what? And he said, I'm so scared that I'm going to be buried in a box alive. And the solution that the therapist gives this lady is what? Just what? Stop it. Right? That's it. You just have to stop it, and that's the solution. But I want to tell you today, when Jesus says, do not be anxious for nothing, Jesus isn't telling us just to stop it. He's not telling us this morning, hey, just stop being anxious, stop worrying, and that's the solution. Rather, this morning, he gives us practical steps on how we can be anxious for nothing. Let's go at verse 6 one more time. Verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. The first practical step that Jesus gives us is to pray. Now, this word prayer, in this context, in this text, in this passage, it's more than talking to God casually. It has a connotation of confiding in God. It's to come to God to find rest and refuge in his presence. It means to attach to him. It means to cling to him. Not only that, but it also has a definition of us coming to seek God for his wisdom in our present circumstances. To come and pray. To come and confide in him. Why? Because he doesn't want you and I to handle everything on our own. Rather, he wants you and I to confide in him in everything and in every situation. He makes himself available to us all the time. But quite frankly, sometimes prayer tends to be what? The last resort or the last option. You know, we try to figure out everything on our own first, then maybe, just maybe, we'll turn to God. You see, church, when you and I, when we don't pray, we're relying upon ourselves. We're letting God know we don't need him. I like what Martin Luther says, you know, the Protestant reformer. He says this about prayer. He says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. To not pray means to cut off God and everything he offers in our lives. But to pray means to involve him in it. In church, man's wisdom, man's understanding, and man's ability, it pales in comparison greatly to God's wisdom, to God's understanding, and to God's ability. And if that's the case, I believe we should be praying for everything and anything all the time. And I think if you and I prayed as much as we worried, we would have less to worry about. Let me give you an example. Maybe married couples, you can relate with me. You ever have a moment when you're in a heated argument? And the moment you're only thinking of how you're right and your spouse is just totally in the wrong? And then later you find out, well, you kind of regret some of the things that you said, the things that you've done, or the way you reacted, right? You ever have a moment when you're in an argument, you kind of step back and you confide in God first? You ever have those moments before? I know for me, I've had a lot of moments when I confided in God after the heated argument, right? And when I confide in him, I find out how stupid I was to react in that way. I find out how selfish and how prideful I was being. And at the moment I'm praying to God and confiding in him about this argument, I start to think to myself, man, only if I prayed, only if I confided in God before I reacted, before I said anything, before I did anything, we would have avoided a conflict, or at least we would have had a healthy conflict rather than a heated one. Now I have to worry about what? Damage control, right? That's a worry that we have. Only if we confided in God, only if we prayed to God before we did anything. So again, God is telling us here, in every and any situation, be in prayer. Confide in him for everything. Why? Because he's available to us. And as we pray and as we confide in God, he gives us a second practical step. And that second practical step is this: bring forth your supplications. Again, in verse 6, he says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication here, it represents our needs, our petitions, our requests, and even our cares. And according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Father wants us to cast all our anxiety upon him because, what? He cares for us. Do you have a need, church, this morning? Do you have a concern? Do you have a complaint? Is there something that's causing you stress, anxiety, and worry? Bring it to him because he cares for you. You know, let me share a story with you in college. When I was in college, I bought a guitar, right? It's a Taylor 314. And this guitar has an expression system. And some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So expression system is just what kind of helps it power up so you can plug it in so sound comes out of the speaker. That's the simplest definition I can give you, all right? My expression system broke. So I went to the shop and I said, hey, you know what? My thing broke. How much is it going to cost to fix it? And they say, hey, man, somebody just came in last week and it cost them $450 to $500 easy. Mind you, I'm a broke college student. Okay, I don't have money. I pretty much used a lot of the grant money that I had for this guitar, right? But the expression system broke. You know, I didn't want to ask my parents for money either. So what I do, I just leave my guitar. So, okay, just find out and just let me know what the cost is going to be exactly and just call me back. Right? So I leave my guitar at the shop, and I go back home, and I know I had to go to morning prayer, and I'm just crying out to God. I'm like, God, I don't have money. God, you know, I don't want to ask my parents for money. This is $500 that I don't have. In my mind, I was thinking, I have one credit card in college, one credit card with the highest limit of what? $500. Right? That's all they give me. I was like, I'm going to put it on this credit card. Okay, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, God, I need help. I need help. Right? I have this need, and God, I don't have the money to do it, and I'm not asking my parents. God, I want your help. The repair shop calls me in 2 days, and they say, hey, your guitar's done. Pick it up. I was like, dude, you didn't call me. Like, I can't pay for this, right? I was like, you didn't call me. You didn't let me know how much it was going to cost, and you went ahead and repaired it. I was like, how much is it going to cost? He said, $80. And as stupid as it sounds, I was thinking, because you know, I'm anxious at the moment, well, 80,000, right? And people are like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? The guitar cost me $1,500. I'm thinking 80,000, right? I'm like, hey, well, 80 grand? And they're like, no, $80, right? I'm like, what? How is that possible? So I go into the repair shop, and I pick up my guitar, and I say, how is this possible? And they say, hey, you know what? We actually called Taylor Guitar, and we told them your situation, and they sent you a new system for free. We just repaired it, and it just cost you labor. So I walked out of the store so blessed, so encouraged, and I'm like, thank you, God. But I'm not going to lie, at the same time, I walked out, I was like, dang, $80 for a repair? That's kind of expensive, right? So, you know, church, do you have a need this morning? Do you have a concern? You know, what is it? What's causing you anxiety? What's causing you worry? Is it finances to pay for the bills? Maybe to plan for your future? Maybe it's a direction that we need in life, a direction for our career path, our job, or maybe we need direction for our business. Maybe like I said in the beginning, we're seeking that significant other. We've been waiting, we've been praying, we've been searching, and to no avail. And maybe that's causing anxiety. Maybe we need wisdom from God to know how to best deal with the situation that we're going through when it seems so hopeless and we need God's intervention. Maybe there's someone we know in our lives that's sick. Maybe they're ill and they need healing. Maybe some of us here, we need a miracle in our body, a miracle in our mind, or a miracle in our spirit. Or maybe we know family members, we have friends that are in need of help or prayers, or even more, maybe there's people we know that need salvation. I'm pretty sure you know about the tragic event that happened this past week with the lead singer of Linkin Park, right? Chester Bennington, found committing suicide. And I really wonder, when I found that out, I was like, how many people were lifting him up in prayer? How many people were interceding for him? And I start to think, dude, how many people in our lives need our prayers too? How many people in our lives need God to intervene in their lives as well? And the next thought I had was like, man, I really hope he was saved. I really hope somehow that he had salvation. If you think about it, church, and it's so real, hell is a real place. And Jesus says, man, when we don't put our faith in him as our Lord and Savior, our destination is hell. It's a real place. And God teaches us in Scripture, he didn't create hell for man. He created hell for Satan and his fallen angels. He came and he died for our sins because he wanted no one to go there. And I'm thinking of God. I'm like, man, how much, if I'm thinking of this, how much is God hurting knowing that maybe possibly he's not with him? Church, do we know of somebody that needs salvation? It begins with our intercession. It begins with our prayer for them. So I tell you, church, if you have a need today, you have a worry, you got something on your mind, you have a request that you got to give to God, bring it to him. He cares for us. He wants to help us. He's making himself available to us. And maybe we need to be desperate, church. Maybe we need to get desperate, right? Maybe we need to be like Bartimaeus. I'm never going to forget who Bartimaeus is because I was tested kind of a pop quiz on the second Sunday that I was here by Richie and Candace. I don't know if they'll remember this, but we're outside in the lobby, right? And we're talking about Bible stories about something. I forgot what it was. And they're like, they asked, hey, Pete Tav, is it Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, this is my second Sunday. I'm going to have to put in my resignation. I don't know, right? But later they bought us lunch. So I was like, I think we're cool. But Bartimaeus, he's a blind man from birth. He hears of Jesus coming through, right? The crowd is going wild, and the crowd, he's blind, so only he's sensitive to hearing. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? He's asking people, and people tell him, hey, Jesus is coming through. He says, what, Jesus? And I'm feeling here that Bartimaeus heard of Jesus and knows that Jesus is the only one who can heal me. Jesus is the only one who has the ability to, you know, perform a miracle in my life where he'll be able to make me see. Right? So he comes up and he goes, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And even Jesus' disciples, the people in the crowd, they're like, hey, be quiet. Like, shut up. Like, sit down. Like, don't bother him. And that doesn't stop him. He cries out even louder. He gets even more desperate. Says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He grabs Jesus' attention. Jesus comes and what do you want? He says, I want to see. He says, I want to see. And Jesus heals him at that moment. Maybe we need to get desperate for God, not just come and say, God, I have a need, and that's it. No, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Saying, God, I'm desperate. I need healing, God. I need a miracle. I need my finances. I need to have provision, Lord. I got bills to pay. My family's in need. My spouse is in need. God, I want you to do a miracle in my life. Maybe we need to get desperate, church. We need to cry out to God, understanding and knowing that our God is powerful. And church, I just want to share a need that this church has. We have a retreat coming up this week. I know sometimes we can kind of get comfortable. Oh, retreat, okay, cool. Like, the staff will prepare it, right? The leaders, they'll plan it, and we'll just kind of show up. But yeah, you know, that's true. But this retreat is for our whole church. This retreat is for our ministry. I think we need to pray and we need to intercede for all those I'll be attending. From the youngest, there's going to be 15 children there. close to about 40 adults. We need to pray and intercede for this retreat. We need to start praying and interceding for those that are preaching, for our leaders, our guest teachers, our staff, and the people that are getting involved, our worship team. We need to pray for every service, every meeting, every event we have, for God's presence to be manifested, for His Spirit to be poured out, that the Lord would protect us and watch over us. Not only that, but even God's provision. You know, the cost, the original cost is over $160. But church, because, you know, they're willing to help out, we're only charging $135, and church needs provision as well. And we need to start praying and interceding for this retreat, right? And this is where I say, come out to presence. Amen? Come out this Wednesday. What an opportunity we have to come out to bring our supplication, our request to God for this retreat and asking Him to move in a powerful way. I don't know about you. I want to be blessed. I want us to experience God. It's a request. It's a supplication we got. Let's get desperate for it. Let's cry out to God and say, Lord, we want You to move. This brings us to our third and final step. In verse 6, he says again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, confiding in Him, and supplication, again, lifting up our requests, being desperate. Then he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, as we confide in Him, as we bring our supplications to Him, we must not forget to thank Him. We got to thank God for what He's done for us. Thank Him for the price He paid on the cross for our sins. You know, let's thank Him for the basic needs that we have every day. We got food on the table. We got a shelter and a roof over our head. We got clothes on our back. We even have a car that we can drive. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for the very breath that we're breathing even at this moment. We take oxygen, whatever, I don't know the science behind it, but we're breathing, right? But even the breath, right? It's a miracle. It's a gift from the Lord, and we should be thankful for that. Thank God for His faithfulness. The fact that He's brought us up to this point, the fact that He's provided for us up to this point, I believe it deserves our gratitude and our thanksgiving. Thank Him for the church that we have, the brothers and the sisters that surround us. And church, thanksgiving, it's crucial for us for being anxious for nothing. And the reason is this: when you and I start thanking God, we start putting our focus on Him rather than all the things that are causing us worry and anxiety. When we start thanking Him, we're being reminded of His ability to provide and to carry us through every situation, any situation you and I face. So when you and I start thanking Him, we start trusting in Him. You see, I don't know if this is true, but you know, we have a saying, there's a phrase that we're all familiar with, right? Maybe you can help me finish it off. An apple a day will keep what? The doctor away. All right, God gave me a revelation. Let me get a different phrase, something similar. An attitude of gratitude will help keep the worries away. The flip side of that is this: an attitude of ingratitude will help keep the worries coming our way. So thanksgiving, gratitude, it's a huge step for us, putting our trust in Him for us not to be anxious for anything. Let me give you an example and a story. I was at a retreat, this is like years ago, right? It was a youth retreat, and a student was sitting down, everybody standing up praying, they're worshiping, and the student is just sitting down. So I go over to the student, and I was like, hey, what's going on? And the student tells me, hey, P-Tav, like my ankle really hurts. I was like, can you try standing up? And she stood up. She was like, no, I can't. It's too much pain. I was like, can you just start, try walking and see if you can come up to the front and pray and worship with us? And she's like, she tries. She's like, no, I can't. And she kind of like, she didn't fall down, but she kind of sat back down in the chair because of pain. And at the moment, I felt like God just giving me faith. And I said, you know, let me pray for you. As I was praying for just healing, I said, God, I know You're a God who works miracles. I know a God who can heal her. I know You're a God who loves her. I was praying all this stuff. And I have this kind of a step that I do. I always try to pray three times. If I'm going to pray for healing, I'll pray three times. Third time doesn't work, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. Right? But I pray three times. So I pray first and second time and nothing. I said, can you try? And I'm like, no, it's in pain. Peace out. So third time I prayed, I remember I just started thanking God. I said, God, I thank You. Thank You that You're God who loves this daughter. This is Your daughter. I thank you that, God, in you there's power and there's ability, God, to just make a healing happen here in the miracle. And I just started praising God. I started thanking him. I said, you know what, just praying a thanksgiving, gratitude towards God. Again, it's my last third prayer. If this isn't, I'm done, right? I'm sorry. That's it. So I just started thanking God. And after that moment of prayer, I had her stand up and she's like, dude, I don't feel pain. So I said, hey, can you walk? And she started walking. She said, I don't feel pain at all. And I was like, dude, that's all God. Praise God for that healing. I don't know if I want to share this part, but it's kind of funny. She went up to tell a testimony, right? It was her left ankle that was really in pain. Her right ankle is fine. The next morning, she's hopping on her. She's doing like this. And I'm like, what's wrong with your right ankle now, right? She was like, you know, she went up doing a testimony. She was like, you know, PTAP prayer, and I was healed. And she's hopping back. People are like, what the heck? What happened to you, right? But just giving gratitude to God, right, the attitude of gratitude allows us to see a different perspective. See, our gratitude towards God will allow us to see through the perspective of God. And in the perspective of God, church, nothing is too hard. Nothing is too big, and nothing is impossible. So in any situation, church, not only are we called to not be anxious, not only are we called to pray and confide, not only are we called to present our requests to God, but he also calls us to thank him, to be full of gratitude to our Lord. And when we do this, church, and we're coming to a close, when we do this, there's a supernatural result that happens. In verse 7, God states this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts, your heart meaning your emotions, and your minds, and it's your thoughts, in Christ Jesus. When you and I, we pray and confide in him, when we bring our supplications to him, when we thank him, the result is that we'll find peace in him. And this peace that God is talking about is not peace of this world. This peace is from him. It's a supernatural peace that we cannot comprehend, that we cannot fully explain. And this peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It'll help keep our emotions, and it'll help keep our thoughts in tune and in line with God's. And this peace that God offers us, it's not the absence of conflict that we have this peace. But this peace comes when we know and we acknowledge that God is in control. It's when you and I acknowledge that God is in control that we will experience this peace of God. And this peace of God, it's just that, you know, just that peace knowing that God is faithful, again, to see us through every situation. It's that peace knowing that God is able to do anything. It's that peace that comes in us and giving us inner strength because we know that we're in his hands, and not just in good hands, right? All state got nothing on God. Let me give you an example up there, right? And when everything seems to be going wrong, there you go. All state got nothing on God, right? We're in God's hands, not good hands, okay? And when everything seems to be going wrong, we have a deep down confidence that we'll be all right. Why? Because God is with us. At this moment, if I can have the worship team come up and just to get ready and just to prepare. And I believe many of us, if not all of us, we need this peace and we desire it. We want to experience this peace from the Lord, the peace that surpasses all comprehension, peace that goes beyond our understanding and that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And if this is the case, church, maybe we need to stop tripping and we need to start praying. Amen. So I want to close with this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let us bow for a moment of prayer.